Daf is Shabbos Daf Dalet. We left off on the top of Dalet Amar Aleph. We got all the way to the two dots yesterday in Dalet Amar Aleph. The last thing we discussed, we were going through the stira between the two brises, where one of them held that we had six interpretations of how to resolve the stira between the two brises, where we had a person who stuck his hand full of peros, and then and he stuck his hand outside into the Rosh Hasharabim. So is he allowed to bring his hand back in? So one Tana said Asur Lachzira, the other one said Mutar Lachzira. So originally we thought that the Machlokas was about whether your Yad has a din of a Karmelis or doesn't have a din of a Karmelis, but then we came up with five alternate interpretations of what that Machlokas might be about. Now along the way, while we were discussing those five alternate interpretations, one of the halachos that we happen to mention is the din of Radiyas Hapas, that there is a halacha that if you put dough around the oven, which is the way they used to bake bread, not by putting dough in an oven, they had the cylinder that would heat up and they would wrap dough around it, so there is an Isser Drabanan to be Rodepas, to take the bread off of the oven. So we had mentioned that Rav Bibi Bar Abaye asked the Shaila, what if Hidvik Pas Betaner, you stuck the dough on the oven and it's not yet baked and you realize it's Shabbos, you stuck the bread on the oven, if you let it continue to bake, you're going to be chayiv for Nisr D'Oraisa of baking on Shabbos. So is it better to violate the Isser D'Rabbanan of Radiyas Hapas, of removing the dough from the oven, or is it better to violate the Isser D'Oraisa of not removing the dough from the oven and just letting it bake, and then you're going to violate the Isur D'Oraisa of baking? That was the Shaila the Gemara had mentioned Derech Agav yesterday, and now we're going to get into that Shaila in much more detail. So we're holding six lines in on Dalet Amar Aleph at the two dots. Gufa, Boy Rav Bibi Bar Abaye. Here's the Shaila of Rav Bibi Bar Abaye that we mentioned yesterday. Hidbik Pas Betanur, if someone attached the bread to the oven, Hitiru Lo L'Ridosa Kodem Shevel Dechiv Chatos Alo Hitiru. Do we allow the person to violate the Isur D'Rabbanan of removing the bread before it gets to the point that it's baked and he's Chayiv Karban Chatos for violating Isur D'Oraisa? Or do we say, no, you gotta sit still and just let it bake and you'll violate the Isur D'Oraisa? We're not gonna let you violate an Isur D'Rabbanan to save yourself from the Isur D'Oraisa. So I'm Leravacha Barabaye L'Ravina Hechidami. So I said, well, wait a second. What exactly is the case over here? What was going through your mind, and what was your level of intention when it came to this bread? The Gemara is going to have five possibilities. What the case was? Ilema, first possibility, Bishogeg Velo Itkerle Leman Hitiru. If we're talking about a case where you Bishogeg put the dough on the oven, you didn't realize it was Shabbos, let's say, and no one ever filled you in, you still don't realize that it's Shabbos. Well, then what's the Shaila? Can you take the bread off? Why would you want to take the bread off? You still don't realize that it's Shabbos. So there's no, you have no motivation to take the bread off. That can't be the Shaila. Ve'alala, the second possibility, what's the Shaila? De'yehadr ve'itkar. No, you did it b'shogeg, and then you realize, uh-oh, it's Shabbos. What did I do? If I leave it on the oven, I'm going to be chayiv v'karban chatos. Well, says the Gemara, but if that's the case, mi mechayiv, would you even be chayiv v'karban in that case? If you attach the dough to the oven and then let it stay on the oven while realizing already that what you had done, that it's already Shabbos? Vatnan, don't we know the Mishnah says, in order to be chayiv v'karban chatos, kol chayiv v'chatos einu chayivin, ad she tchilas an shkaga v'sof an shkaga. In order to be chayiv v'chatos, you have to be b'shogeg, both b'tchila and b'sof. You have to be b'shogeg when you do the initial maisa, and when the chalos happens, when the chalos iser happens, when the malacha happens. So over here, you were b'shogeg when you did the initial maisa, you didn't realize that it was Shabbos, but by the time the bread is being baked, you're already amazed. You already realize what you have done. So you wouldn't be chayiv v'chatos anyway in that case. So that can't be the case that we're talking about, where we have this shaila of whether we're matir the Radiyas Hapas. Ela, third possibility, b'mezid. No, maybe the situation is, we're not talking about where you b'shogeg put dough in the oven, you b'mezid put dough in the oven. You knew that there's an Isur D'Oraisa called Fia b'Shabbos. You knew that it was Shabbos, and you did it anyway. But that can't be, says the Gemara, because what was the lashon of the shaila of Rav Bibi Bar Abaye? His shaila was, Do we let you take the dough out of the oven before it leads to a chiyuv chatas, a karban? But if it were done b'mezid, kodem shiyavul de iser skila mibayle. The lashon of the shayla should have been, do we let you take the dough off before you violate an iser skila? Because if you're mechal Shabbos b'mezid, you chayv skila, you're not chayv a karban chatas. So that third possibility is also rejected. Ella amar Rav Shila, so Rav Shila suggests a fourth possibility. What exactly is our shayla? Li'olam b'shogeg. We're dealing with a case where you did it b'shogeg. You put the bread in the oven b'shogeg. Uleman hitiru, we said, no, it can't be that we're talking about where you did it b'shogeg, because if you did it b'shogeg, then, and you're still shogeg, you still don't realize that it's Shabbos, so what's the shayla? Can you take it off? You're not going to want to take it off. You don't even realize you did anything wrong yet. No, we're not asking if the person himself who did it can take it off. La'acherim, we're asking, if I see my friend b'shogeg put bread in an oven, am I allowed to violate the Yisra D'Rabbanan of Radiyas HaPas to save him from a karban chatas? He put the bread in the oven and then he walked away. And I know that he did it b'shogeg. He had no idea that it was Shabbos. I could tell that he had no idea that it was Shabbos. He was wishing everyone a happy Tuesday. He had no idea that it was Shabbos. So can I go ahead now and remove the bread from the oven to save him from the Yisra? That's the Shaila of Rabbi Bar Abaye. So that's the fourth explanation of the Shaila. So says Gemara, nah, that can't be it either. Because Maskev La Rav Sheshes, v'chi omrim lo la'adam chatei kedei sheyizka chivircha. Would we ever tell a person to sin in order to save his friend from violating an Yisra? We don't tell people to do an Avera so that somebody else could benefit from the Avera. If the Shaila were about him himself, okay, good. So then maybe we'll tell him to sin in order to save himself from a bigger Avera. But to tell me to sin to save him from a bigger Avera, that we don't find. We never find that you're allowed to do an Avera to save somebody else from a bigger Avera. So that can't be the Shaili either. So Elam Ravashi. Ravashi says, fifth possibility. Let's go back to say Li'olam B'mezid. The fifth possibility is really the same as the third possibility. That the case was the guy put the dough in the oven B'mezid. What was our problem? Why did we reject possibility number three? We rejected it because we said if it was b'mezid, why are we talking about a karban chatas? We should be talking about a chiyuv skila. It's got nothing to do with karban chatas. Ve'ema kodem shiavu de'esu skila. Okay, so you got to take out the magic pen and erase the original nusach of the question and turn it to kodem shiavu de'esu skila. I mean, you take away the word chatas and say that the whole shayla is about the esu skila. And Rav Acha b'rei d'Rava masna behedya. Rav Acha b'rei d'Rava in his version of this shayla actually had explicitly this way that we were talking about a case of mezid and nisra skila. We're not talking about shogeg and chiyuv chatas. That am rabbi barbayi hidbik pas betaran hitirla l'radosa kodem shiavuludei isra skila, where he said beferish that if you're madrik pas betaner, you're allowed to take it down before you come to an isra skila. That's the whole issue, that you're going to violate an isra skila. So that's the question of whether you're allowed to violate an isra drabanan to save yourself from the isra skila. There's a very interesting ha'ara the Cheshek Shlomo raises. He says v'nistapakti Cheshek Shlomo on the back of the Gemara nistapakti behidvik pas betaner ben hashmashos. What if you did it ben hashmashos? You're madbik pas betaner, but you're not sure if it was Shabbos. It was ben hashmashos, so you'd be chayv an ashem tali for that. You wouldn't be chayv a chatas. So in that situation, would we allow you to violate the vaday isser derabbanan of Radiyas HaPas to save you from a suffek isser daraisa? Is it a din in saving you from a karban, where over here we're going to save you from a karban of Hashem Taloi, or is it a din in saving you from an isser where maybe it's only a suffek isser, we're not going to be as interested in saving you? Then he says a much more interesting suffek, in my opinion. Odish l'stabek, l'dasa kolbo b'shem gon, shehuva p'richadosh orchaim simen taf lamed aleph. I think last time we did Shabbos stuff, Dav Dalid, was shortly after Pesach, so this was very exciting at that point. Now we're Sukkot's time. But he says that according to the Prichadash, Simtaf Lamed Aleph, the Lachamitz Yadua Lo Mahani Bittel. There is a sheet of the Prichadash that you can't do Bittel Chametz when you know about the Chametz. Bittel Chametz is for Chametz that you don't know about. Chametz that you do know about, you can't do Bittel. So if you assume that, Heichadin Behidbik Pas Betaner B'Shabbos Shabbatocha Pesach. Let's say it's Shabbos Cholamoid Pesach, and you put dough in the oven before it had a chance to rise. Now here's your options. You can leave the dough in the oven, it will get baked, it will be matzah, it won't be chametz. Or you could take it off the oven, and when you take it off the oven, can't do anything with it. So what's going to happen? It's going to rise and it's going to turn into chametz. So now what do you do? What is it better for? Meaning, if you're going to say that normally we'll tell you to do rediyas hapas, take the dough off the oven, because if you leave it there, you're going to violate the yisr skila of baking on Shabbos. Yeah, that's on the normal Shabbos. But what if taking it off will mean violating another yisr daraisa of bali matzeh, of owning chametz? And we're assuming you can't just do bittel because you know about it. And if you assume like the prechadish, you can't do bittel on what you know about, so you're going to have a problem. Hey, chadin behid pas patarim bet Shabbos shabtocha pesach dim yarda. You're going to violate another Issa Daraisa Balira, not an Issa Skila, but a separate Issa Daraisa Balira. He says, and he says, okay, maybe you're going to tell me, no, it's not going to be a violation of Balira Balimatse, because over here, you're only keeping the Schametz in order to be able to destroy it. And maybe we assume, like the opinions that hold, that if you're only holding on to Schametz, so that you can destroy it later, that's not a violation of Bayir Abayi Matzeh. So he says, okay, what about the following case? What if Shvi'i Shel Pesach is on Shabbos? So the first time you're going to be able to destroy it is when? Motzai Shabbos, which is after Pesach. So then it's not called that you're holding on to it just to fulfill the mitzvah of destroying the chametz, because it's going to be too late to fulfill the mitzvah of destroying the chametz. It's going to be after Pesach already. So in that situation, what would you say? So he says, you still have my case of suffix. If it's Shvi Shel Pesach that falls out on Shabbos. Efsha delo itir lo b'kia gavna. Dafta zeinu el isra la visra Shabbos uskila. Mikol nokom ala la v'yavro b'kol rega v'rega me'ayom. And then it gets even more exciting. He says, you're going to tell me, here are my options. I could violate the Yisr Skila of Chil Shabbos by leaving the dough there, or take the dough off, let it become Chametz, and I'll violate an Yisr Lav, Velosaseh. So it's a no-brainer. Violate the Yisr Lav, don't violate the Yisr Skila. He says, no, I'm not convinced about that. Because if you leave it there, how many Yisr Skila do you violate? How many moments of Yisr Skila do you have? The one moment, it's one Maisa, you did an Afiyah. So it's one Yisr Skila. If you take it down and it becomes Chametz, how many Yisr Lav, Bali Rav, Bali Matzeh? Every second that you keep it is another Yisr Lav of Bali Rav, Bali Matzeh. He says, this is just like the Ran in Maseches Yuma, in the 8th Perek of Yuma, where the Ran discusses the famous case of the Cholash Yesh Bal Sakana who needs to eat meat. And it happens to be Shabbos. So what do? You have only nevela and treifa meat in your fridge. So can you give the cholash yesh bo sakana your iser lav nevelu treifa meat? Or should you go out to your backyard, take your cow, and shecht your cow? You shecht the cow, you're going to be in violation of nisr skila of shechita on Shabbos. You give him nevelu treifa meat, it's just going to be a nisr losaseh. Says the Ran, it may be better to shecht the cow. Because you shecht the cow, it's only a violation of one iser skila. But if he needs to eat a lot of meat, every nevela, every kezayis of nevela that eats is going to be a separate violation of a losaseh. So it's better to violate one big avera than many, many small averas. So says Cheshek Shlomim, maybe the same thing over here, that it's better to violate one isra skila of letting the dough bake and violating the isra of afiyah b'shabbos than many small averos of balira bali matzeh. That's the two shtel he makes, and that of course is the starting point of Rav Yosef Engel's very lengthy discussion, I think in Asfon Daraisa, where he discusses quantity versus quality when it comes to mitzvos and isurim, where he uses that Ran as the starting point to show how sometimes quantity of a lesser isur can outweigh quality of an isur, can outweigh the overall severity of another isur. So that's how the Cheshek Shlomo connects it to our sugya. That's point number one in this Gemara. Point number two in this Gemara, Tosfos, really probably should have been point number one, Tosfos of here is a very important kasha. Tosfos in Divra Maso v'chiyom lo adam chatei asks, wait a second, do we really reject this notion of telling someone to do an Avera to save somebody else from a bigger Avera? Don't we have a Gemara in Erevin where the Gemara says, Nichale l'chaver d'le'avad yisura kalila v'lo l'avad amarat yisura rabba? There is a halacha that if you take off Trumas and Maestros, Trumas and Maestros need to be taken min hamukaf. You have to take from the same area. I can't take Trumas and Maestros over here or my produce that's here to cover produce that I have a mile away from here. That's shalom min hamukaf. Now, it would work. It would still still be a hafrasha, but it's not right. It's a violation of some sort of iser to take shalom and amukav. What if I find out that there are people that are on their way to my produce a mile away that never had shumas amais was taken off from it? I can't get there before them. I can't call them or text them. They're going to go there. They're going to be there. They're going to eat it. So am I allowed to violate the iser of being torim shalom and amukav by taking off from the produce that I have here and saying, okay, this will be the shumas amaisos to cover that produce to stop them from an iser of eating tevel? Is that okay? Can I violate the iser of shalom and amukav to stop them from the greater iser of eating tevel? Says the Gemara in Erevin, yes. Better for me to violate an iser of shalom and amukav rather than to have those people go and violate the iser rabbah of eating tevel. Wait a second, how does that jive with our Gemara? Can you tell someone to sin so that someone else will benefit? Tosus has three approaches to answer this question. Approach number one, he says, Hasam kedei shelo yochal amar it's tevel al yado. Damarlei melelach kalkala shel te'ena miteinasi. The case isn't that people happen to be walking to my produce a mile away. The case is I told them to go take it from there. The only reason they're going to be eating tevel is because I made them eat tevel. I enabled them to eat tevel. If I'm the one that caused them to do the isarabah, then yes, then I have to do an isarzuta. I have to do a smaller iser to prevent them from doing the greater iser, because I was the cause of the iser. But in our case of the bread with the tanner, I didn't tell the guy to stick dough in the oven. He stuck dough in the oven on his own, and then he walked away. So yeah, so maybe in our case, you're not going to tell me to do radiyas hapas just to save him from the greater iser. The radiyas hapas was the pas baking in the first place was never my fault. So that's one approach. That's one approach that Tosos has. Second approach Tosos has, and by the way, this may relate to, well, wait a second, if I told the guy to go fill up his basket with my produce from a mile away, isn't that lifnei iver? Right? It may not be just saving them from a bigger iser, I may be saving myself from a bigger iser, because it's a lifnei iver. This may relate to how we view lifnei iver. Is lifnei iver a chelek of that iser itself? Because if I'm, it's better for me to take shalom and amukav than to violate an iser tevel, to have a shutvus in an iser tevel. Whereas if lifnei iver is a separate iser, it may go in a separate cheshbon. It may not be cheshbon the same way. Okay, that's one approach. Second approach, Tosa says, in the name of the Riva, that afilu lemadvik atzmo ein lifshom isham lahatir, dasma dain lo nasa hi iser, umutav shiyasi iser kal v'lo yasi iser chamor al yado. Avlacha maisa shel iser kvar nasa. What's the maisa iser of baking on Shabbos? The iser only takes place, it only takes hold once the item gets baked. What's the maisa avera? The maisa, when would you give me asra? Don't do this, because the maisa avera is right before you stick the bread in the oven. Over here, the maisa avera was done already. Whereas over there, in the case of the guy taking the produce from a mile away, what's the maisa avera? The maisa avera is the achila, is when he eats it. The maisa avera over there wasn't done. Maybe if I can do a small avera to prevent someone from even doing the maisa avera, I get in early enough. Before he does the maisa avera, then I'm allowed to violate a small avera to prevent him from going forward and doing the maisa avera. But maybe in our case, where the maisa avera is already done, so I'm not going to be able to get in on time to prevent him from the maisa avera. I'll just be able to reverse the road that the maisa avera is headed down. So maybe then we're going to say, no, I shouldn't violate any iser in order to prevent him from violating an avera. And the third approach Tosus has, va'od yesh lomar didavka hecha de pasha ka'amar v'chiom lo la'adam chatei kidei she'iska chivircha, that it's only in a case where someone was posheya that we say that we're not going to tell me to do an avera to save somebody else. Meaning it's only if it's not the guy's fault that he's doing the avera. He didn't know, he had no way. But if a guy did not, meaning, let's be clear, in our Gemara we say, I shouldn't sin to prevent him from an avera, that's because he's a jerk. He shouldn't have done this avera in the first place. He was negligent. He did something terrible. He was baking on Shabbos. Shogeg, Mezer, whatever. He was baking on Shabbos. That's his fault. So if it's his fault, So then we're not going to say that I should do an aver to prevent him, to save him from himself, from his own stupidity. But if the guy was not negligent at all, the guy had no idea. He had every right to assume that this produce is mesukan, because chazak al chaver shein yotzi mitachas yad davar shein mesukan. He has every right to assume that if I told him it's okay, that it's good, that this produce is fine, he wasn't poshea at all, then will tell me to violate an aver in order to save someone from violating a bigger avera when it wasn't that person's fault at all. That's the third approach that that Tosfos has. The which approach you accept may have major nafkaminas in halacha. There is a discussion in the Tshuvas HaRashba in Siman Kuf Chav Zayin about being mechal Shabbos to save someone from an avera. The Rashba discusses a case where someone's daughter was taken from his house, and there's a chashash that they're gonna convert her to Christianity. They're gonna be meimer dasa, and the question the Rashba writes: so you can't be mechal Shabbos to save her from that, because apparently there was no physical threat to her life. It was pikuach nefesh, of course, in Mechal Shabbos. It was a spiritual threat. They were going to get her to do averos. So the Rashba writes, you don't sin in order to save her from violating other averos. Even an Isser Zuta, even a small avera, we don't allow in order to save someone from an Isser Rabba, from big averos. So certainly over here, where it would require Chil Shabbos. So the Beis Yosef says that this is the Rashba l'shitaso, because the Rashba holds like the first day of Tosfos, that only when the avera is my fault do we say that I have to violate the smaller avera to prevent the bigger avera, which is my fault. Over here, it's not my fault. She was kidnapped. It's not my problem. It wasn't because of me that she was kidnapped. So I'm not going to be allowed to sin in order to save from the bigger avera. But let's say you hold like the shita of Tosfos. Tosfos also mentions the shita that a mitzvah rabba. I forgot to mention the fourth approach of Tosfos. Tosfos says that a mitzvah rabba, when something is a major mitzvah, like Pru Ravui says, you're also allowed to violate a small avera in order to enable a mitzvah rabba. So he says maybe this would have a din of a mitzvah rabba. Also, if it all depends on whether the person who's going to violate the avera was poshea, well, the girl wasn't poshea over here, she didn't do anything wrong, so then maybe I would be allowed to violate the avera. The Beis Yosef points out that the Rashba's whole response assumes like one of these answers of Tosfos. If you assume like the other answers of Tosfos, I would be allowed to be mechal Shabbos in order to, or to at least violate a small avera in order to save the girl from being Hamer Dasa, from being convinced to a different lifestyle, to a non Torah lifestyle. Okay, that is the other question the poskim discuss where they bring in our discussion and our Tosfos of a mitzvah rabba or a mitzvah derabim, where maybe it's different, is the Tosfos Shabbos in the Hakdama writes in the name of the Panim Me'iros. Let's say the Erev falls on Shabbos. Can you have a guy fix the Erev on Shabbos? Is it okay to violate the Isser of Amir La'akum to fix on Shabbos? They say, yeah, mitzvah derabim, it's okay. Raya from our Tosfos, say you're allowed to violate a small avera like Amir La'akum for the sake of a mitzvah derabim. That's certainly the minhag in shuls or whatever. We always violate Amir La'akum in order to enable some sort of mitzvah derabim. The other Tosos that's very critical over here is the Tosos Dibra Maskel Kodem, that it's that we said when the guy did it b'mezid, so I'm allowed to violate. So the shaila was, am I allowed to violate the isra of Radia Sapas in order to save him from the isra skila? So frek Tosos vim tomar, save myself from the isra skila. My bayahizu imitiru ledosa pshita shalishma lanu im neso. Meaning, what kind of shaila is this? Is it mutter to do Radia Sapas? Here's the guy's option. The guy put bread in the oven, right? So he knows he has two options. He could leave the bread in the oven and be chayv skila and die, or he could take the bread out of the oven and have to live with the fact that he violated an Isser Derabanan, which, you know, is not so happy, but it's better than dying. So our shaila is he allowed to violate the Isser Derabanan? Let's say we tell him, no, you're not allowed to violate the Isser Derabanan. He'll make a quick cheshbon in his head. Okay, I could ignore those instructions and save my life, or I could listen to those instructions and die. I would much rather ignore those. I mean, what kind of shaila is it? You could tell him whatever you want. He's not going to listen at this point. Meaning, whether you're matil meredosa or not matil meredosa, he's going to be rode to the pass in order to save himself from the isra skila, even if he doesn't think he's actually actually going to die. Still, why would he want to live with the Yisraskila on his cheshbon? He'd rather live with the Yisrabban or with the Yisapasa on his cheshbon. So says Tosos v'tirut riva diim lo itiru, phenomenal chiddush of Tosos lo mechayev skila. If we tell him you can't take the dough out, he's then not going to be chayev skila. He's going to be parted from chayev skila. Kiven shemaniach milirdos alide mashanu osun lo liridosa al shemana osun lo. Because since the whole reason he didn't take it down was because we didn't let him take it off of the oven. If that's the whole reason he didn't take it off of the oven, then he's not going to be chayev skila. Because he wanted to. He wanted to change it. He wanted to do tshuva, but he wasn't allowed to. We didn't permit him. So that's that itself would save him from an issur skila. Says tells us, wait a second. Shouldn't every situation of baking on Shabbos be a hasra safek then? Because any time I give someone a warning, you better not put that dough in the oven, you're going to be chayev skila, it should be hasra safek. Because I don't know that he's going to be chayev skila. Maybe he's going to take it down 5 minutes later. Maybe he'll want to take it down 5 minutes later and we won't let him. And it'll be pater from skila. Whichever way, he can get out of it. So even the concept of hasra safek is that if I warn you, don't do this action, and you do it, so the only way my hasra is valid is if I say don't do this action because it's going to be chayv skila, is if when you do that action you're definitely going to be chayv skila. If there's a way to do that action and still be pata from skila, well then the hasra is not a valid hasra. So over here he could do the action, he could put the dough in the oven and still be pata from skila. How? 5 minutes later, take it off of the oven. So isn't it all a situation of hasra safek? So Tos says no, you have to say that since if everything were left as is, it would be chayiv skila, it would lead directly to the malacha, so that has to be, that it's not called hasra'as safik, that's called hasra'as vadai. You have to work very hard on this tosis to figure out then what exactly the geder of hasra'as safik is, but now is perhaps not the best time to work through that issue. But that's an important issue to consider when going through the sugya. Okay, vayter in the Gemara now. Pashara ani esyado, three lines before they get wide, dalet amin aleph. So we said that if the ani sticks his hand into the Rishus HaYachid, and we discussed the various permutations of whether he's going to be Chayiv, Pater Avalasu. So let's take the case where the ani sticks his hand into the Rishus HaYachid, picks something up out of the Balabayas' hand, and brings it out into the Rishus Rabim. So we said the ani is Chayiv in that case. The ani is Chayiv because he did the Akira from the Rishus HaYachid, Hanach and Rishus Rabim. Good. Frek the Gemara, am I Chayiv? Why should he be Chayiv? Doesn't Akira and Anacha have to be from a place that's 4x4 Tfachim? If the item is not resting on something that's 4x4 Tfachim, then it's not an Akira and it's not a Anacha. So you picked it up from someone's hand. Nobody's hand is 4x4 Tfachim. The hand is, at most a Tefach wide, right? That's the very definition of a Tefach. So it's not 4x4 Tfachim. And he took it out into the Rishus Rabim. And what? He had it in his hand. So where's the Akira? Where's the Anacha of Dalet al Dalet? Let's focus on the Akira. He took it out of the Balabais' hand. Where's the Akira from a Makom Dalet al Dalet? How could he possibly be Chayiv? The Gemara is going to suggest four answers to this question, two on today's daf and two on tomorrow's daf. The two on today's daf and the first of the two on tomorrow's daf are going to be rejected until we finally settle on an answer in the middle of Hey Amid Aleph, where the Gemara is going to finally say, no, Yado Shaladam is Chashuva Kedalet al Dalet. That's going to be the maskana at the end of the day. That a person's hand, for whatever reason, is considered to be a Makam Dalet al Dalet. But till we get there, we're going to have a variety of other suggestions. So suggestion number one, how could the Ani be Chayiv after all? He only took it from someone's hand. He didn't take it from Makam Dalet al Dalet. Amar Rabba Hamani Rabbi Akiva Amar Lobi and Makom Arba al Arba. Maybe we're assuming like the Das Yachid of Rabbi Akiva, who holds that you don't need to remove it from a Makom. That's Dalet al Dalet. Ditnan, because Rabbi Akiva, we saw in a Mishnah that says as follows, Hazorik Mirshus HaYachid Rishus HaYachid Rishus HaRabim Be'emtza. Let's say someone throws something from one Rishus HaYachid to another Rishus HaYachid, and there's a Rishus HaRabim Be'emtza. So two houses on two sides of a massive street, a street that's a Rishus HaRabim, right? And two apartments on the side of, Broadway in Manhattan. So you throw it from one apartment building to the other apartment building, and it passes through the airspace of the Rosh Hasharabim. Rabbi Akiva Mechayev V'Cham Potrim. So what did you do in the end? The Malach HaVotzah involves either taking something from Rosh Hasharabim to Rosh Hasharabim, Rosh Hasharabim to Rosh Hasharabim, or being Mavir Dalet Amos per Rosh Hasharabim. Over here it went from Rosh Hasharabim to Rosh Hasharabim, but it passed through in the middle of Rosh Hasharabim without ever resting. So Rabbi Akiva says you're still Chayev, and the Chacham says you're Potter. Why? Rabbi Akiva Savar, Amrinan Kluta Kamisha Hunchadamya, Rabbanan Savri Lo Amrinan Kluta Kamisha Hunchadamya. Rabbi Kiva holds that when something is floating in the airspace of an area, we view it as if it's resting in that area. Machlokas Rishonim, what do we mean we view it as if it's resting? Do we view it as if it's resting on the ground of that area? Or we say, no, in the airspace, it's ki'ilu, it's resting. Maybe nafkaminas. But, okay, that's a Rabbi Kiva holds that we assume that it's ki'ilu, it's resting. So when I threw it through the Rosh HaSarabim, when it was in the Rosh HaSarabim, it's ki'ilu, it rested in the Rosh HaSarabim. So I violated taking it from Rosh HaSiach to Rosh HaSarabim. And l'chora, I should violate a second time when it goes from the Rosh HaSarabim back into the Rosh HaSayachid. So, and the Rabbanan say, no, we don't say Kluta Kamishon Chadamya. There's no such din. So the Memra B'shita Le'Rabba, the B'shita Le'Rabba, so that would solve our problem. Why does our Mishnah say when you pick it out of someone's hand, it's a violation of Otzah, the hand isn't Dalet Al Dalet? We're assuming, like the Shita of Rabbi Akiva, that it doesn't need to be Dalet Al Dalet, because Kluta Kamishon Chadamya, even though the hand is like it's floating in the airspace of the Rosh HaSayachid, that's as if it's sitting on the ground of the Rosh HaSayachid. It's Kamishon Chadamya. That would solve the problem if that, in fact, is the proper understanding. I just saw very interesting, before we reject this this notion, the Achronim discuss, the Ber Hetiv in Hilchos Sukkah discusses, let's say, actually not in Hilchos Sukkah, the Rav Zilberstein in Cheshuk Echemet raises the Shaila, let's say a person has some sort of allergy to citrus fruits and he's not able to hold an esrog. So would you say Kluta Kamishon Chadamya? Can the guy have put his hand like this, have someone else hold the esrog above his hand, so he doesn't have to touch it? Kluta Kamishon Chadamya, it's as if it's in his hand, and he's yotzei the mitzvah of esrog in that way. So he quotes from the Ber Hetiv in Simul Chafei in Hilchus Tefillin, unbelievable chiddush of the Ber Hetiv. If a person, let's say, puts on Tefillin Shal Yad, and then he starts to put on his Tefillin Shal Rosh, and before he places the Tefillin Shal Rosh down on top of his head, so he's mafsik b'dibur, he speaks. So he says, is that a hefsik in the bracha? So says Ber Hetiv, no, Kluta Kamishon Chadamya. The tefillin is a little bit above his head, so it's as if it's resting on the head already. This is why I said it's the Nachaps and Nafkamina, Rashi and Tosos, whether Kluta Kamishon Chadamya is if it's resting in midair, or as if it's resting on the ground underneath. The whole discussion would only begin if we consider it as if it's resting on the ground underneath, not as if it's resting in midair. But that's the Chiddush of the Ber Hetiv. Ber Alacha says, that's ridiculous. He says, based on the Atzus HaChaim, that any time that it's low, that you haven't attached it to your head, you're not mekayim the mitzvah. So I don't care that it's kluta kamishon chunch is not enough. It has to be connected. So the response might be, no, the mitzvah of ukshartem is tefillin shal yad. Mitzvah of tefillin shal rosh, the totafos bein enecha, that it should be there. Who says that it has to be mihadik shapir, that it has to be attached well for the mitzvah of tefillin shal rosh? Rav Asher Weiss just points out this whole discussion is such a strange discussion. Would anyone suggest that you never actually have to put on your tefillin? Ever, that you could just put your tefillin in midair and say, okay, did my mitzvah for today, Kluta Kamishon Chadamya? Very strange discussion. That's right, that's what it sounds like. If you say it's Kluta Kamishon Uncha, so why wouldn't that be good enough? And the same is the truth is by Esrog, it's a non-starter anyway. Because by Esrog, the mitzvah is not to have an Esrog in your hand. The mitzvah is Lekachta, the mitzvah is a Lekicha, is to take the Esrog. There's no din of Lekicha if you never actually take it in your hand. The poskim discuss, what if a person doesn't have hands? Can you place it like in his armpit or something? Is that called the lekicha? Or if a person puts his hand on top of the esrog, is that called lekicha? So they'll point out, no, that's not lekicha to put your hand on top. You have to take it in order for it to be a lekicha. So if it's floating on top of your hand, it's vaday not a lekicha by the esrog. Rav Asher Weiss has a whole piece to try to, in his sefer on Masechta Shabbos, probably one of the best svarim of Achronim I've ever seen in Masechta Shabbos. Minchas Hashem Shabbos is phenomenal. When I met Rav Asher Weiss this summer, I told him how much I loved it. He said, yeah, Minchas Hashem Shabbos is very good. So he's pretty proud of it himself. But he has a beautiful, beautiful piece on this discussion. But anyway, So the first possibility the Gemara suggests is that maybe our mission is assuming like Rabbi Akiva and Kluta Kamisha Hun Chadamya, and that's where Rabbi Akiva holds your chayiv when you throw something from one Rosh HaSiach to another Rosh HaSiach through Rosh HaSarabim. Says Gemara, nah, maybe Rabbi Akiva doesn't hold Kluta Kamisha Hun Chadamya. That might not be the issue over there. Why Rabbi Akiva says your chayiv when you throw something from one Rosh HaSiach to the other Rosh HaSiach? Lemeimer de pshita le the rabbi de be Kluta Kamisha Hun Chadamya u betoch asara pligi. Is it so pashut that the the situation is that the case is Kluta Kamisha Hunchadamya, the Rabbi Kiva holds Kluta Kamisha Hunchadamya, and the whole machlokas is when you threw something from one Rosh Hashiach to another Rosh Hashiach within 10 tefachim off the ground, where it would still be considered Rosh Hasharabim in the middle, because once you're above 10 tefachim off the ground in Rosh Hasharabim, it's not considered Rosh Hasharabim anymore. Then it's called the Makom Ptur. So Vahami Bayi Bayila Rabba. Rabba already asked the Shaila. The Bayi Rabba Lamatami, meaning Rabba wasn't sure what the logic of Rabbi Akiva was. Rabba asked, Lamatami Yud Pligi Ubaha Pligi, was the case under 10 tefachim, and they're arguing in the following issue, the Rabbi Akiva Savar Kluta Kamisha Unchadamya, Rabban Savi Lomri and Kluta Kamisha Unchadamya? Is that really what the Machlokas is about? Avalamala Miyo Divrei Akal Pater. But if you were to throw it from Rosh Hashiach to Rosh Hashiach with Rosh Hashiach Ba'emtza above 10 tefachim, everyone would say Pater, Udukuli Alma Yalfinan Zorek Mimoshit, and that would be working with the assumption that throwing is no different than passing, that even though the way the Malacha was done in the Mishkan was by passing the boards of the Mishkan to each other. There were Moshit Asakrasha Mizulazu, that Zrika would be no different, that Zrika would be the same din as passing. Oh, we're not so sure that's what the machlokas is about. Rabba said, oh, Dilma, maybe the machlokas is about the following. The whole machlokas of Rekiva and Lacham is when you throw something from one Rosh Hashiach to another Rosh Hashiach through Rosh Hasharabim above 10 tefachim, which if you just go through a natural passing motion from a standing position, it's going to be above 10 tefachim. Right? 10 tefachim is not that high. You'd have to be sitting down and throw it sidearm to get it all below 10 tefachim through Rosh Hasharabim. Not so easy to do. You got to have a good arm. Rosh Hasharabim is pretty big. So, and the whole machlokas might be whether Zrika has the same din as Hoshata, whether Zrika you could learn Zorik Mimoshit or not. But maybe everyone would agree that if it's under 10 tefachim, then you'd be chayiv. My taima, Amrin, Kluta Kamisha Unchadamya. Maybe everybody agrees, Kluta Kamisha Unchadamya. So says Gemara, Holo Kasha. I'm not bothered so much by that Rabba didn't seem sure about what Rabbi Akiva was based on, whether he was based on Kluta Kamisha Unchadamya or not, because Basri Dibai, Hadar of Shitalei. It could be that originally he wasn't sure, and then it became clear to him, the Savar Rabbi Kiva, the Kluta Kamisha Unchadamya, that Rabbi Kiva held Kluta Kamisha Unchadamya. So we've now saved our first approach. Again, we're trying to figure out why is it, it's important to keep the bigger picture of the sugya over here, we're trying to figure out why is it that in our Mishnah, when you take something out of somebody else's hand, you're going to be chayiv for that Akira, the hand isn't Dalet al Dalet Tfachim. So the Gemara's first answer is we're assuming, like Rabbi Akiva, that Kluta Kamisha Unchadamya, that when it's in his hand, it's as if it's resting on the ground, and therefore it's like you took it off a place that's Dalet al Dalet Tfachim. So good, at this point, that's still a valid approach. Frankly, Gemara, no good. Vidilma Hanachu Dilo Baya, Ha Akira Baya. Maybe Rabbi Akiva only doesn't require a Hanacha on a Makom of Dalet al Dalet. Maybe Rabbi Akiva would say Kluta Kamisha Unchadamya is good for the Hanacha, but maybe an Akira from a Makom Dalet al Dalet you would need. Meaning, what did Rabbi Akiva say? If I throw something from Rosh Hashiach to another Rosh Hashiach through Rosh Hashiach, I'm Chayiv. Why am I Chayiv? For throwing it from the Rosh Hashiach to the Rosh Hashiach in Be'emtza, or from taking it from the Rosh Hashiach in Be'emtza to the Rosh Hashiach on the other side? Maybe, in order to do an Akira, you need to remove it from places Dalet al Dalet. And therefore, I'm only going to be Chayiv for taking from the Rosh Hashiach to the Rosh Hashiach in Be'emtza. But from the Rosh Hashiach in Be'emtza to the Rosh Hashiach on the other side, I'm not going to be Chayiv, because there was no Akira from Makom Dalet al Dalet. Maybe there's a different requirement for the Akira than there is for the Hanacha. For the Akira, we're not going to say Kluta Kamisha Unchadamya. You actually need a real Makom Dalet al Dalet. For the Hanacha, we'll say Kluta Kamisha Unchadamya, that you're not going to need a Makom Dalet al Dalet. Why would there be such a thing? Why would there be a chilik between the Akira and the Hanacha? There are several explanations in the Rishonim. Tosos over here quotes two explanations of why Akira would be different than Hanacha. He says, because first of all, we learn from the Mishkan, where they took from boxes that were dalal tfachim, and they put it in the hands of the adol simel of the people who were doing the malacha. So they actually took it from a place that was dalal in the Mishkan and put it in people's hands. So maybe that's why we see that the akira needs to be from dalal, whereas the anacha could be even in someone's hands. It's not dalal. Or Tos says maybe because the Israel hotza we learn from the pasuk al yetsa ishmi mekomo, and that's akira, meaning from mekomo, a makom, a real makom. You need an akira from makomo, from something that's considered a real makom of dalal al dalal. That's how Tosa suggests. The Rashba and the Meiri suggest that it's not, it's a svara, that maybe begemar maisa, to finish off a maisa that you've already begun, bekol de usagi, you don't need a substantial hanacha. But to begin a maisa, to label something as a beginning of a maisa, of a malacha on Shabbos, then you need something more substantial. So you need to do an akira from makom dalal al dalal. Shar mitzvah b'alacha, we are quotes from Maral in Chidushe Gor Aryeh, where he says that no, maybe it's a different svara, that since when you remove an object, you're megala that makom is not chashuv to you. Meaning, why am I taking the object out of that place? Because that makom is not a chashuv enough makom. Where I'm putting it to, I'm considering chashuv makom. Haraya, I'm bringing the object there. So to do a hanacha, maybe it doesn't need to be dalet al dalet, because achshave, I in my own mind, have made this a makom chashuv by deciding to move the object there. Whereas the place where I'm taking it away from, it better be a makom chashuv, because in my mind, it's certainly not chashuv. I'm taking it away from that spot. Okay, so that for those reasons, maybe akira is different than anacha. So says Gemara, Ella Amar Rav Yosef, we have to come on to a second possibility of who could be the author of our Mishnah that holds that removing it from someone's hand counts as an akira. After all, it's not dalet al dalet. So says Gemara, Amani Rebbe hi. We're assuming like the Shita of Rebbe. Hey Rebbe, which Shita of Rebbe? Rebbe says a lot of things in Shas. So Ilei Maha Rebbe, if you want to say it's the following Rebbe, Ditanya Zarek V'Nachal Gabi Ziz Kol Shu, Rebbe Mechai V'Cham Potrin, if you throw something and it lands on a ledge that's a very tiny ledge, Rebbe says Yechayiv, apparently, even though it's not on a makom dalet al dalet, and the Chacham say Pater, so you see that Rebbe doesn't require makom dalet al dalet. No, that has nothing to do with that. Hasam kedvinu lemer lekaman kedabaye. Over there, we're going to explain that shita of Rebbe through the lens of Abaye. Da Amar Abaye, or Abaye explained, Hachabila nolmed brishos hayachiv v'nofo notu l'rishos rabin. The case over there was, it's a very massive tree that happens to be standing in a rishos hayachiv and has one branch leading over into rishos rabin. V'zarek v'nach anofo. And you threw something and it landed on a tiny branch of that tree. The Rebbe Savar Amrin Shadi Nofo Basri Karo. Rebbe says that's considered a makom dalet al dalet because the base of the tree is dalet al dalet. For Rabbanan Savri Lo Amrin Shadi Nofo Basri Karo. The Rabbanan say no, the branch is very tiny. It's not dalet al dalet, so it's not considered that it landed on a place that's dalet al dalet. But that has nothing to do with not requiring dalet al dalet. Everyone agrees you require dalet al dalet. The question is, does the branch have a din of dalet al dalet? Do we go basa the root, the base of the tree, or the branch itself? So that can't be the Rebbe that we're referring to. Elaha Rebbe. It must be the following statement of Rebbe. Again, the case is the reverse of what we discussed before. Instead of throwing from one Rosh Hashanah to the other Rosh Hashanah to the Rosh Hashanah in the middle, now we're talking about you throw from one Rosh Hashanah to another Rosh Hashanah with the Rosh Hashanah in the middle. Rebbe Mechayev V'Cham Potin. So Rebbe says, Yechayev V'Cham Seyu Potter. Aye, it never landed in the Rosh Hashanah that was in the middle. Fa'amar Rebbe Yudah Mershmuel. Mechayev V'Yu Rebbe Shtayim. Rebbe says, Yechayev twice. Achas mishum otzah, v'achas mishum achnasa. One for otzah when it went from the rishus harabim to the rishus yachad be'emtzah, and then achnasa from that rishus yachad be'emtzah into, or one from the achnasa from rishus harabim to the rishus yachad, and then the otzah, the rishus yachad back out to the other rishus harabim. Alma lo ba yakira v'lo anacha al gabi makam al dalet. But you see that Rebbe does not require neither an akira nor a hanacha on a makam dalet al dalet. They're just floating through the airspace, traveling through the airspace counts as if it rested there. So you don't need a makom dalet al dalet. So that's the shita that our Mishnah must be assuming like when it says that an akira from someone's hand counts as a real akira. So says Gemara, no. Ha'idmar Allah, Rav Shmuel, Dar Mitarvayu, lo mechayev Rebbe al Rishus HaYachid Mekura. Now Rebbe would only be mechayev if the Rishus HaYachid Be'emtza, in that case, had a roof over it. Damrin and Besa Kaman Demalia Damya. Whenever a Rishus HaYachid has a roof over it, we view it as if the whole space of the Rishus HaYachid is filled up with stuff, and therefore, as it's traveling through through the airspace as if it's resting on the stuff that's in the Rishos HaYachid. But if it didn't have a roof over it, then Rebbe wouldn't say any such din. There's no din that you don't need a hanacha. That you do need a hanacha in a makam dal al dal. It's just that when it's makura, it counts as if it's already filled in with the whole space is filled in. And if you're going to say, well, maybe hachanami bin makura, maybe our mishnah is talking about a case where everything is roofed in, where the Rishos HaYachid has a roof. Well, hatenach b'Rishos HaYachid makura. That works very well for the case of the Rishos HaYachid. But we also said that if the Baal HaBayis reaches out and takes something out of the ani's hand, he's also going to be chayav for that akira. So what, the Rishos HaRabim that he's taking from is also makura. Rishos HaRabim makura, mi mechayev. Mi chayev. Would you even be chayev if you take something from Rishos HaRabim that has a roof? V'amar Shmuel bar Yehuda, v'amar Shmuel bar Yehuda, amar Rabbi Abba, amar Rav Huna Merav, hamavar chayfetz dal arms Rishos HaRabim makura, Potter, Lefishen Adam, the Digle Midbar, that the whole din of Rishos HaRabim doesn't, of Hotsa'a in Rishos HaRabim, doesn't apply to Rishos HaRabim Makura, because in the Midbar there was no roof in the Rishos HaRabim. And the whole, all the Malachs of Shabbos have to be derived from the Midbar. Now over here the Gemara is making a little bit of a leap. We're trying to learn dinim of Hotsa'a from one Rishos to another Rishos from the din of carrying Dal Ramos for Rishos HaRabim. But it's not so much of a leap because we're just defining the term Rishos HaRabim. And we're saying the term Rishos HaRabim cannot mean in Hilcha Shabbos that there's a roof over it, because we're learning from what happened in the Mishkan. In the Mishkan, they were in a midbar, there was no roof over anything. So that's why the second possibility is rejected. So tomorrow, Mishkan, we'll get on to the third and the fourth possibility of how to understand why being oker from someone's hand is called an akira in Hilcha Shabbos.